You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Good morning. Welcome back. I'm Heather Caro.
And I'm Doug Weingart.
And we are your hosts for this special edition of Real Presence Live, broadcasting from the state convention here in South Dakota for the Knights of Columbus, broadcasting out of Watertown, South Dakota. I think this is the actual first time we've ever broadcast out of Watertown. I'm pretty sure of that.
And I'm pretty new, so I'm not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is the first time. So it's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. Watertown has hit the mark. We've made the map. We've been broadcast. So excited for our next guest. If you've missed any of the first hour, you missed Father Dan Smith, who's the state chaplain of the Knights of Columbus here, and Ray Pearson, both great interviews.
Yes.
You can always check them out on our podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or go online to realpresenceradio.com, and hopefully we'll have those up later today or Monday. Moving on to a young gentleman.
Arom.
I feel like saying it the English way is very just not exciting. Arom. So how do an English-speaking white gal say it? Arom?
Well, I just tell folks all the time since I grew up in the Southwest, just you can call me Arom.
Arom.
You don't need to roll the R at all.
Okay, I'm not. I can't roll the R.
Arom.
You're Arom. Fancy. Yeah. I just feel very Midwesterner right now.
It's okay. That's okay. It is what it is.
Arom, thank you for joining us.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So, man, what to share?
Where to begin? Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in the Southwest. Both of my parents are actually immigrants from Mexico.
Okay.
They immigrated here. My mother in the late 70s and my father in the late 80s. They dated when they were younger, but then, you know, got split apart. My mother moved to California, Southern California.
Okay.
And that's where I was born. My dad, right before I was born, he was working as a homicide detective down in Mexico. But
interesting.
He decided to give it up. So
did he tell great stories?
Well, he certainly did. Few and far between. The people elicited them. Yeah.
I bet.
It's, definitely crazy down there. But he moved up here and he told me that he wanted to give me a better life in this country. So he gave up being a homicide detective to being a dishwasher at some restaurant.
No kidding.
So, and he hasn't, of course, done the detective work since then. So, yeah, and I have an older half-brother. God bless him. If you guys could pray for him. He was always struggling with addiction and being in and out of correctional facilities since the seventh grade.
Yeah.
So that was just very difficult to grow up with. And I did move around a lot when I was younger. We ended up moving out of California when I was around 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up in Arizona about 2 weeks before the September 11th attacks.
Really?
So, yeah. And so I still remember that time in my life. And, just growing up, I always remember my mother was very assiduous and raising me in the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
She worked really hard. I mean, my dad never went to Mass with us. That's another thing, too. And she'd always drag me along, and I still remember, you know, sitting in the back of the church with my mother, and when the bells would ring, I'd say, What is that? Oh, it's God and the angels coming down. It was during the Eucharistic prayer, and I would always look up, trying to see if I could spot the angels or God coming down. But
yeah.
Of course, I'm not a mystic, so that never happened.
You never know.
That's
Keep
right.
Keep looking.
That's right. And, as I was growing up, you know, I became rebellious, especially in my teens. I used to box, and I thought I was going to be the next Mike Tyson at 130 pounds, but that didn't work out, so now we're here. But in my brokenness, I actually ended up getting injured with boxing. I got nerve damage and the like, and in my brokenness, that's where God ended up calling me back to the faith, because I was rebellious and didn't go to Mass with my mother, and I started going back and towards my healing, and
Was there a moment where you turned away and turned towards him?
I can't really.
Or was it a general thing?
It was more. In my pain, it was more of a smooth transition. Hmm. Of course, in my pain, I would cry out to him. But in that, I kind of recognized that the fragility of life, like Father McGivney did of the Knights of Columbus, and I definitely took eternity into account. So I rediscovered my Catholic faith as a teenager, and ever since it's been on. I mean, I Ended up in seminary for about 3 years after I got a couple of associate's degrees, and that was with the Diocese of Phoenix, with Bishop Olmsted. And yeah, it was just a wonderful time. I wish every young man coming out of high school, whether they're going to become priests or not, could go to seminary for at least 2 years, you know, like the Mormons do it.
Yeah,
with their missions.
Makes good men.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And just learning about the history and the wisdom of the church was pivotal in my formation as a young man. There's a lot more to my story, but
yeah,
you know,
beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful story.
That's what it is.
So we're in South Dakota. How did you go from Arizona to South Dakota?
That's a great question. So when I left seminary, I met my now fiance, Elena Wegleitner, and we were just like best friends from the start. And when I was back home, she was doing some mission work with Totus Tuus, it's now known as Lumen Christi, here in South Dakota. And she moved back to South Dakota, of course, after her mission trip in Arizona. I got in touch with some mutual friends, and we ended up going to the movies, and that's how I met her. So when I was back home for a year after seminary, I was teaching part-time. You know, seminarians always decide to be teachers after they leave seminary, you know what I mean?
It's part of the passage. You just seminary, you discern out, let's go teach.
Exactly. So that's what I did.
And, that's so true.
And so I was teaching little fourth graders, and I figured I can't teach them about Descartes and Aristotle and use my philosophy degree with them. So I wanted to give my students so much more. That's right, yeah. I wanted to give them so much more, so I had a calling to apply to the University of Notre Dame's ACE Fellowship Program. It's a 2 years master's program, and it's the Notre Dame pays for it. You know, so if there's any Catholic teachers that are strong in their faith, because I don't want to disparage anybody, but maybe Notre Dame has a reputation that sometimes goes against the faith. But it's great formation, and if you're looking to get a master's in education, try to get into the ACE Fellowship Program. So they had me teaching down in Dallas for a couple of years. But my fiance, who was my friend at the time, actually road tripped with me up to Notre Dame. And, you know, we just continued in our friendship. And eventually when I graduated from Notre Dame, I moved up here in 2021 from Dallas, Texas.
Nice.
So I was teaching in the inner city down there, just down the street from where Dennis Rodman grew up.
Really?
The Chicago Bulls, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Doug's done a lot of traveling, too. You lived in California for a while.
Yeah, almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Southern Cal.
Okay, love that. Yeah. SoCal. I'm originally from Santa Ana, Orange County.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, I was out in San Bernardino and L.A. County for
a while.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a great place.
Yes, yes.
Great weather.
Yeah, that's what it is, the weather.
Yeah, it's the weather, that's for sure.
And then you guys flee to South Dakota.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
That's quite the adjustment.
It really is. But, yeah, the people are wonderful here.
Good.
And great hospitality and great family values.
So wonderful.
I'm delighted to be here.
So where have the Knights of Columbus come into your world?
Oh, man, the Knights of Columbus, I always remember the elderly men serving pancake breakfast in the parish Arizona, you know. That's what I always remember. You know, as I was growing up, I always had that misconception of who the Knights of Columbus were, and I always said to myself, why would I join the Knights of Columbus if, you know, that's all they do is flip pancakes.
Not interested in pancakes.
Yeah.
Unless I'm eating them.
Exactly. But as I was growing up, and right before I left for seminary back in 2015, elderly gentleman, I forget his name, but God rest his soul, God bless him, he kept pestering me about joining the Knights of Columbus.
Nice.
So I got peer pressured, you know, and did the whole first degree, and that was wild. And for the men that know, they know. And so I did the first degree, and when I went off to seminary, I didn't really get too involved with the Knights of Columbus. But I'm sure Blessed Father McGivney was watching over me, because here we are now. I'm now a field agent with the Knights, and thanks be to God that the saints are perfect in charity, and they don't mind if we step away from their friendship for a little while.
Right,
they're still our friends. So that's how I kind of got involved with the Knights, and then as I've grown to know more about them, especially their history and their mission, I've certainly fallen in love with their mission.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, and I love even though you went off to seminary, I love the thought of your council still praying for you, still being brothers to you, even though, you know, you might not have been making pancakes with them, they probably still held you up in prayer.
Oh, absolutely.
So that brotherhood is just something that's beautiful.
Absolutely. And they've always been very good to me, especially when I go back home to, nice. To Arizona.
Beautiful.
So,
yeah.
So you did say something that I find interesting. When I do think of nights, I think of dads and grandpas. Why is it important that younger men become knights?
Yeah, I believe because of the fragility of life. First and foremost, the Knights of Columbus were created to defend the widow and the orphan, because mm-hmm. Father McGivney actually understood the fragility of life very well back in the 1800s. He was the oldest of 13. He was only six of his siblings made it to adulthood. So he buried his siblings, and he saw people just pass away, you know, left and right. And he saw that need, because back then in Connecticut, actually, there was anti-Catholic laws at the time. And Catholics were very much discriminated against, because a lot of them were Irish immigrants who took the most laborious jobs in the factories, and they were seen as uneducated, so they were prejudiced against. And they just, I guess, those that were not of the Catholic faith just didn't like that. So whenever a breadwinner died, which was usually the man back in the 1800s, what would end up happening is the state of Connecticut made the family go through probate and go to court.
Really?
And if the young lady could not prove that she had at least $1,500 for each of the children, or $200, I believe it was, I heard different figures, but the state of Connecticut would actually take the children away from the mother and essentially give them to families that were able to take care of them. And since back then there were no child labor laws, they would use them as indentured servants.
Wow.
So Father McGivney actually put up the money once when he went to court to give the Downs family back their youngest child, because they had a lot of children. They had like 14 children and Father McGivney. So with that, Father McGivney saw a great need to protect Catholic families through the life insurance.
Beautiful.
I know that's a word that a lot of people don't like, but that was the reality of it.
That's the reality of it.
Back then, yeah.
Well, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Aram from the Knights of Columbus in Sioux Falls, I'm assuming.
Correct.
And you're a field agent, but we're going to talk more about that. We have to take a quick break. If you're just tuning in, we're broadcasting a special broadcast from the Knights of Columbus convention here in South Dakota from Watertown, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Live, engaging, and local. This is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Daily Meditations of Pope Benedict XVI, presented by Leonardo DeFilippis of St. Luke Productions.
What the Magi learned. Going into the house, the Magi saw the child. Outwardly, their journey was now over. But at this point, a new journey began for them, which changed their whole lives. Deep within themselves, they felt prompted to go in search of the true justice that can only come from God, and they wanted to serve this king, to fall prostrate at his feet, and to play their part in the renewal of the world. This was where their inner journey began. It started at the very moment when they knelt down before this child and recognized him as the promised king. But they still had to assimilate these joyful gestures internally. They had to change their ideas about power, about God, and about man, and in so doing, they also had to change themselves. They had to learn to give themselves. No lesser gift would be sufficient for this king. But they had to learn that their lives must be conformed to this divine way of exercising power, to God's own way of being. They must become men of truth, of justice, of goodness, of forgiveness, of mercy. They will have to ask, "How can I serve God's presence in the world?" They must learn to lose their life and in this way to find it. Having left Jerusalem behind, they must not deviate from the path marked out by the true King as they follow Jesus.
This meditation is taken from Benedictus, published by Ignatius Press and Magnificat, and produced by St. Luke Productions. Learn more at stlukeproductions.com.
You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And be sure to like and follow us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Heather Carroll.
And I'm Doug Weingart.
And we're broadcasting today from the Knights of Columbus Convention here in Watertown, South Dakota. You can hear the voices starting to arrive for their festivities on whatever the Knights do behind those closed doors.
Yes. I'm going to find out here soon.
Okay, you're going to let us know?
Yeah, I'll let you know.
We're talking with Rome today. He is from Sioux Falls, and he is working for the council. Well, I don't say working for the council.
Working for the Knights.
Working for the Knights, and they're starting a council over at Our Lady of Guadalupe. There's one that's already been started that needs a little reviving. But first, let's talk about your work. Why did you decide to join the Knights of Columbus as a means of work?
Yeah, so the reason why I joined the Knights of Columbus is, one, for that freedom. It's great. I'm an independent contractor with them.
Okay.
And one reason why I wanted to make the switch is to raise a family and provide for them in the way that our Lord Jesus Christ wants me to provide for them. I used to be a teacher. And I taught in the Sioux Falls School District, and I'm not shy about sharing this, but, you know, I have a master's degree from Notre Dame and, you know, a bunch of education. But even with all that training and the like, I was only raking in $24,868 after taxes.
Reality.
You know, my rent was more than half of my salary. And so I was discontented. I was looking for a new way, and I decided to jump into the work of the Knights, and it's truly been wonderful. I mean, I'm so excited to be working with them and to have that history behind me of who they are, of who the Knights are, to stand on their shoulders. It's a marvelous thing.
So for those that aren't familiar, what kinds of things do the Knights provide?
Yeah, so the Knights of Columbus not only provide charitable works, whether that's with coats for kids, the basketball free throws, water for the victims of the fire in Lahaina and in the Hawaiian Islands, or the folks out in Ukraine. The Knights of Columbus, their charity extends beyond Catholicism. So wherever there's a need, there's a knight.
Yeah.
And that's been the case since World War I or in the late 1800s. They actually started an initiative, I believe, during World War I that opened up food for everybody. They got a lot of food. They get raked up millions of dollars to donate. That's another thing about the Knights. They're a non-profit and a Fortune 1000 company at the same time, so they're not concerned about lining the pockets of their shareholders. But back then, the Knights of Columbus actually started an initiative to feed people during the war and or after the war, and they said, come one, come all. They never asked if you were a Knight of Columbus, if you were Catholic, if you were Protestant.
Love it.
Just come and eat. Come and eat with us.
Well, and I love that story you told of Father McGivney and life insurance, which is totally not how I thought it started.
Yeah, that's how it started.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling. So where has it developed? I mean, I would love to see his face today, to come in, walk in, and see what's going on now.
Yeah.
You know?
He was, he's definitely a handsome man, that's for sure. He was short, too. He was like 5'5".
Nice.
And he had bright red hair.
Yeah.
And he was always clean shaven. Anyways, but, yeah, I would love to see his face, too, and I'm sure he's very proud of what the Knights have become. He died at 38. He died at age 38 from a pandemic, a Russian flu. You know, he was only a priest for 13 years.
Huh.
And here we are with the largest Catholic fraternal in the world. You know, that's the beauty of following Jesus Christ, because he is a blessed, but you get to see the work of Jesus Christ and how formidable his plans are throughout the ages. One thing that I would like people to know about the Knights of Columbus is just really we stand at the forefront of the culture battle, especially when it comes to finances. With the life insurance products, of course, as a nonprofit, we do give the best rates to protect Catholic families. But one thing that touches my heart is the fact that even with like mutual funds, I know as a field agent, you know, crazy things to think about. But you know, if folks are deciding, you know, they're very strong in their Catholic faith, why put your money where it's going to support abortion or it's going to support things that go against the Catholic faith, which, you know, Christians are being ravaged right now by the secular culture.
And places that you wouldn't expect to have bad dealings, they do. And it's some of these groups that you're just like, you support this? And it just shocks me every single time.
Absolutely.
And so it is important to find a Knights of Columbus group like that.
Yeah, and with the Knights, also, just a prime example of that, of the Knights being at the forefront of the culture war, we used to invest with Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I hope I don't get sued, you know, but every month the Knights of Columbus review the companies to see what they're investing in and if they're, you know, in line with the Catholic faith. And the Knights found out that they were actually investing in contraceptives, in the abortifacta pill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only Amazon's, like, profit by 0.02%. But the Knights have a zero tolerance policy, and they pulled all the monies out of Amazon.
God bless them.
You know.
Yeah.
So the Knights
exactly
don't play.
What we want. Exactly what we want. I have a really morbid thought, but I always just think about, you know, how much does the most simple thing cost when it comes to some of the horrific things that happen? It could be a cotton swab. It could be a garbage bag. But these are all tools, and they all can have a very ugly purpose and an ugly end. And so I always think about the very basic things. And, you know, people are like, oh, but it's such a small percentage. It's like, yeah, but I don't want it to be that cotton ball that I paid for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm on my soapbox now, but
oh, you're fine. No worries. It's good to be passionate.
It is. So let's talk about real quick before we run out of time. The Knights of Columbus Council at Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah.
How is that going?
It's not.
Oh no.
It's not, which is unfortunate because many Hispanics, they just have a great need, especially as immigrants. You know, mm-hmm. I believe Father McGivney has a great place in his heart for those that are immigrants, because his parents were immigrants and he saw the struggle. A lot of time Hispanics are actually working some of the most dangerous jobs in construction, and or they have their business in roofing, and I meet with them and they say, oh, I broke my leg, you know, and I was out for a few months, so I don't have any type of coverage. You know, or the financial literacy is pretty low, but their faith is just so strong, and I would hate for them to go without if anything happened to the men and women within those families, because they have so little when it comes monetarily, but they're rich in their faith.
Yeah.
One of the things that I envision for the First Hispanic Council and in the state of South Dakota, although they are very strong, is the core initiative that exists through the Knights of Columbus that helps form men in their faith to become strong in their faith. And really, I think that's going to be the approach, is let's pray a scriptural rosary together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive deep into our faith. Let's have some food. Let's enjoy some camaraderie, and just go from there.
I love it. God has asked you for something big, and he thinks you can do it.
That's right.
He's going to give you the tools to get it done.
That's right. You know, I'm going to take him with me, and if it doesn't work out, I'm just going to blame him because he's in charge.
I mean, we're following the way it should be then.
Yeah, he's in charge. He always gets his way. He's stubborn. So
I love it. You're perfect for that community. It's beautiful. Talk a little bit about the Our Lady of Guadalupe community. I know a lot of great people out there. So tell us a little bit about that parish, because it is special, I would say, in all of South Dakota.
Yeah, it is very special. The faith just really comes to life, not to disparage anybody else, but Our Lady of Guadalupe doesn't do anything small.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to Mass there, you're packed shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
And there's no shyness about sitting right next to somebody, you know, and they'll get right up next to you, you know, and you're squeezed in like sardines. And it's just it's a wonderful thing to see how alive their faith is, and how simple it is, and how charitable they are. And
beautiful,
just
community.
Wonderful people.
Well, then, how long ago was it? A couple years ago, there was a fire. Were you around for that fire?
I was not. I think it happened right before I came, probably in like 2019.
And it was just like the whole community came together. It was 0.5 seconds, and they had it fixed, cleaned up, all done, and now it's one of the most beautiful parishes in the area.
Oh, absolutely.
By far. I mean, the ceiling of Our Lady of Guadalupe's mantle is just breathtaking. I mean, so if you've never been to Our Lady of Guadalupe in Sioux Falls, it's a must-see. It's a must-see. It's an absolutely gorgeous parish.
Yeah, and the Mass is the same if you want to come to Mass in Spanish. You know, it's you'll know when to kneel and when to stand up.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be fine.
And the priest always gives a homily in English, I think. It's been a little while since I go to the St. Joseph's. So.
Oh, okay. Another beautiful parish.
Absolutely.
So we only have a couple minutes left. For those that are listening to you, I'm excited to have a young man on the air to talk about the Knights of Columbus. That makes me very happy. What encouragement would you give other young men to join the Knights of Columbus? What benefits are you seeing for yourself come out of it?
Yeah, every day I get to grow in my Catholic faith. It feels like I'm in seminary again. You know, the Knights of Columbus. My whole life is the church, and it always has been. And when I've stepped away, it's been difficult. But yeah, for the young man, you know, take advantage of the financial products. You know, you'll never second guess where your money's going or anything like that. And you can sign up online for free. You don't even have to be a member of the council. And if you want to volunteer with the council one day, then yeah, certainly do it. But I hope to see the young men coming back, because the mission of the Knights of Columbus is great, and there's a lot more to it than just flipping pancakes. We really got to stand in the breach and be men about it, and be virtuous, you know, unselfish men.
Amen. Beautiful. Well spoken. Arum, thank you for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
You're so welcome. I was delighted to be here. Thank you for your time.
And we'll have the entire listening audience, because we cover 10 dioceses, 5 states. So I think I'm going to encourage all the listeners listening right now to pray for Arum and his council at Our Lady of Guadalupe, that God will lead them in the direction that they need to go and provide those men some great support. So
thank you so much.
All of the listeners will be praying for you.
Thank you. The more the merrier.
Yeah,
definitely
amen.
Need the prayers, don't
amen.
We all? Amen.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a voice that we haven't heard from
in quite a while.
He used to be a regular on RPR, and he's been moved around, so now we're in his city, so we're going to get to update and see how he's doing. So if you've missed him, stay tuned. We'll divulge who that is after this break. More from the Knights of Columbus State Convention here in Watertown, South Dakota. I'm Heather Carroll.
I'm Doug Weingart.
And we'll be back with more Real Presence Live right after this.
Live, engaging, and local, this is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network. Searching for more great Catholic content? Visit our website at realpresenceradio.com. Find Catholic news you can trust, information about events coming up in the local area, and the latest on what's happening at the RPR Network. And don't forget that you can listen to any of our stations around the clock from anywhere in the world. Need prayers for someone or something in your life? You can submit those through our online form for the entire family to pray for. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope. Online at realpresenceradio.com.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. Some say that our age of relativism, the belief that there are no absolute truths, began when the philosophers of the Enlightenment divorced reason from reality. Indeed, David Hume wrote that reason exists only to serve our own agendas. Contrast this with great thinkers like Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine of Hippo, who each taught that reason is at the service of reality. And because of this, the human reason can reason their way to truth. In John Paul's famous encyclical Fides et Ratio, he writes, "Faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth." Millennia of Christians have held that faith without reason is brainwash, and reason without faith is blind. So today, when you're thinking through an issue, ask yourself, is my reason serving reality, or am I twisting reality to serve myself?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org. Are you thinking about making a gift to Real Presence Radio now or in the future? The easiest and best way to help further our work is with a gift of cash or a gift of stock. These two types of gifts have an immediate impact on our mission. We can begin using the resources you provide to further our mission of evangelization right away. Experience the joy of giving. Call Mike at 701-290-4503 or visit our website at rprlegacy.org. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.